Over the last many weeks, we've been studying the book of Romans. And we've been on the Romans road. We've talked about encountering the righteousness of God. Now, that is the theme of the book of Romans, the righteousness of God. First and foremost, understanding God's character. That pure, holy, righteous God who cannot have communion, cannot have an intermingling with sin. And then knowing our character, that we are totally fallen, that in this world, in this place that we live, we only need to open a newspaper, turn on the news broadcast, look into our own hearts, look into our families, and we know we are fully fallen and broken. And that righteousness of God being revealed in the person of Jesus Christ in His Word, building a bridge for you and I. We've been on this road together looking at God's plan, God's sovereign plan, calling us, calling His children into a relationship with Him, being adopted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, being adopted by the God of all creation, having the privilege of being called His children and being heirs of the kingdom and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. If you have not been excited in the book of Romans, then there's almost no book in the Bible that I will encourage you to read again. Perhaps the Gospel of John. But Romans is the book that has touched so many lives. When the church has gone astray through the centuries, individuals like Martin Luther, who were part of the church that had gone astray, would read the book of Romans and their eyes would be opened, their hearts would be opened, and they would realize what a gift. What a gift God is. What a gift Jesus Christ is. And what a gift faith is, because faith is not of our making and our doing. It is from God. This morning, the title of the message is Let God Be God. Let me be faithful. You see, we as Christians still fall back into that original struggle, that original sin, and we like to put flowers on it and put cologne on it and perfume on it and make it smell so sweet. We want to be in control. We want to be the ones to have a leash on God. If you think prayer is a leash on God, pray a little harder, pull a little more, and you'll make God jump through your hoop, then you have the wrong definition of prayer. Prayer is changing me to be more in the will of my Father. Prayer is being deeper in a relationship and talking with, not to, my God. And in talking with my Father, I am changed. I don't change Him. And when I am changed and I become more in the image of my Savior, I am more ready to do His will. This morning we're going to be reading from chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Jump down to verse 9. And I forgot to tell you the page number, 1203, if you want to catch up. Verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call upon Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how will they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful on the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, the Lord who has believed what he has heard from us. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And if you want to flip over real quick, to chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. And then down to verse 5. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. Starts off with a phrase. Our passage this morning starts off with a phrase, heart's desire. It was Paul's heart's desire that the children of Israel, all Jewish individuals, come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It was his heart's desire. We read last week in chapter 10 and in chapter 9, and we're reading now even in chapter 11, that there's a remnant. A remnant, if I was strong enough and I could take my jacket and rip off a little piece, that's a remnant. It's a piece. Scripture is very clear. Not all the Jewish people are part of the elect. Not all the Jewish people will spend eternity in heaven with God. And not all the people that you and I come in contact with. There is a remnant. There is a peace. We don't know who that is. Let God be God. You and I need to be faithful. I told you last week, I don't like all the passages of Scripture. It would be much easier to ignore, sweep under the carpet, forget about certain things, because it's not a comfortable thing to preach about, talk about, or share. But if it's truth, it's truth. If it's God's word, it's God's word. And if it's there, it better be proclaimed. Paul's heart's desire was that all the children of Israel come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Later on, he says there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. Paul's heart's desire is that all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, even though by Scripture we know that's not true, that not all will come to Christ, let God be God. You and I are called to be faithful. And what does that mean? This person over here who doesn't look worthy of Christ, I am called to be faithful and love them. I am called to be faithful and proclaim to them. Is that your heart's desire? Is that your heart's desire? And do you pray that way to God? Again, that idea of prayer, that it changes me. Lord, touch them. Send somebody in their path, Lord, that will touch their life. Lord, put a musical song on the radio that'll move them. Lord, a scary prayer, have a life event happen in their life that brings them to their knees that they might come to know Jesus Christ. And Lord, if I am part of that process, then find me faithful and give me that privilege, give me that opportunity, because it is my heart's desire. I don't know if that individual will sit with me in eternity someday at the banquet table. That's not my place. And it's not my place to know it until eternity. I've shared before from this platform the story of my daughter. My daughter, who's adopted, who's now, I won't dare tell how old she is because she'll really get upset with me, but my daughter, who is now definitely a young woman, well, when she was 8, 9 years old and we had the privilege to adopt her, we learned the story of her birth father who took his life. And her question was, Daddy, is my daddy in heaven or in hell? How do you answer that? He took his life. He pulled the trigger. That night was a horrible night where the family was locked in a camper and they could hear the gun hitting the sides of the camper. And then later on, they heard the shot. All indications are that he did not know Jesus Christ. How do you tell an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old? Well, I could tell her the truth. My God is a God of love. And even as the bullet was going down the chamber, if a day is as 10,000 years and 10,000 years is as a day to our God, a moment is more than enough time for our God to reveal himself to the heart of any man. It is not my place to judge. I do not know where my daughter's birth father is today. He may be at the right hand of my Savior. He may be at the banquet table. I don't know. I know this. Unless somebody believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not have salvation. I know Scripture is clear. Unless somebody is brought to the place where in their heart they believe that Jesus Christ paid for their sins, the righteousness of God is not theirs. Scripture is clear. We can't mince words. We can't make something up. It would be nice. But that's not God's word. Let God be God. And Father, may I have the strength to be faithful. My first question this morning is, what is your heart's desire? Is your heart's desire to be the mouthpiece of the gospel? That your hands and your feet move with the gospel, that you touch lives of people that need it. If you don't care, you might be part of the elect. You believe, but you're not being faithful. And Scripture does tell us that we can grieve the heart of our God. We can grieve the spirit of our God. We can grieve him. He's our Father. If you believe on Jesus Christ, you are his child, and there's nothing heaven or hell can do to take you from your Father's hands. Period. But that doesn't mean you're being faithful. That doesn't mean that your Father in heaven is proud of his son or his daughter. And quite honestly, perhaps then it's time to go home. Maybe it'd be better for the Lord to take those children of his home because they're not living in ways that honor him. Paul starts this morning with his heart's desire. Paul starts this morning with his prayer. Where is your heart's desire? In our culture, we have brought on a lot of little words and things that come from Scripture. And so even though we are now 2,000 years since Christ and 4,000 years since Moses, even though we are years and years and years apart from the words of Scripture being penned on the page, we have all kinds of little things in our culture that come from Scripture. I've shared before about my uncle who was a missionary in Chiapas, Mexico, and in their culture, which was really not touched deeply by the Western world, not just the seat of emotion, but value, importance was not the heart, it was the liver. I love you with all my liver. That's what they would say. That's how they looked at things. Scripture, when it talks about with all your heart, your heart's desire, is referring to what's important to you. when the rubber meets the road, when you sign a checkbook, when somebody reads your diary when you're long gone, what was important to you? You could tell me how important Jesus is to you. Well, how much time do you spend thinking about him? How much time do you spend talking to him? How much of your finances do you turn over to him? I am not looking for more in the collection plate. That's not what this sermon's about. Look into your own hearts and minds and lives. Paul's heart's desire was not just for the Jewish people, but that's where he started, was that all would come to know Jesus Christ. It had nothing to do with works. Did you catch, as the passage was unfolding, talking about this is not about works. This is not about getting things done. This is about believing. This is about confessing. This is about receiving God in a relationship way. We love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him. That word believe is something so much deeper than just head knowledge. If it was just head knowledge, my friends, if that's all it took to change our lives, our world would be very different. Right now, the public schools would be the right on mark on a number of issues. And I'll share what I mean by that. Our public schools are very good about teaching about nutrition. Have you ever gone to a large event and looked at how obese America is? We know all the right stuff. We just don't follow through. And I could start going down issue after issue where the public school does teach good things. I'm grateful in this country for the private schools. And I'm grateful for the public schools. We're sinful, fallen people, and we need to pray for both of them. But there's a lot of good here, too. Our schools teach about hygiene. Our schools teach about good medical practices. Our schools teach about staying away from drugs. Our schools teach about how a baby comes about. And you would think, with all that knowledge, we would have such a fantastic country with no problems. We are sinful, fallen people, totally fallen. And even with all that right knowledge, without Jesus Christ, without our lives being changed, the knowledge is empty. So here is Paul. Paul is saying, believe. Believe is much more than just head knowledge. It is the idea of believing and receiving. I almost challenge you the next time in your own mind, the next time you say John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes and receives, because that would be a fuller translation, a deeper understanding. It is not just, oh yes, I know drugs are bad for me. It's, I am changing my life. I am receiving this information. I am having it become part of who I am. And when that happens, Scripture says those who believe in their heart, it becomes important to them, and they confess. Well, what does it mean to confess? Well, we're going to say, oh, it all means you say it with your mouth. Scripture does say that. So are we saying, if you can't speak, if you are dumb, and I don't mean dumb mentally, I mean dumb, your vocal cords don't work, that means you can't be a Christian? Of course not. You would scold me for such a thought. Later on in Scripture when it says, faith comes by hearing, so somebody who is born deaf cannot be a Christian? Of course not. That's not what Scripture is meaning. Let's not play games. That's what my children would do when I would make up rules at the house. And, well, Dad, I did follow what you told me to do. No, you didn't. The spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. We've all done that. So here Paul is setting up before us that we are changed when we encounter Jesus Christ. We are changed when we encounter the gospel, the word of righteousness in Christ Jesus. That change happens in a relationship with the God of all creation. That change happens in a prayer life, in a walk with our mighty Father in heaven. Let God be God. And you and I need to be faithful. Is your heart's desire for that neighbor? Or is your heart's desire simply for yourself, your family, and our little church family? Now, don't get me wrong. Scripture is clear. First to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, but also to the ends of the earth. If we're not being faithful in our families, if we're not being faithful with our friends and our church family, and all we're doing is running out to share the good news out there, then we've also lost our priorities. But so many believers, so many Christians get comfortable in their bubble. Never be comfortable. So many of us are so appreciative of our little bubble, our little circle, that our heart's desire, our hearts do not break for the lost. I get when someone says to me, oh, my heart breaks over my child because they're not walking with the Lord. Absolutely. There could be no greater anguish in a parent or a grandparent's heart when they see that their own flesh and blood are not living the way they ought to. But is there a little bit of that going on in your heart for the person you work with? Is there a little bit of that going on in your heart for your neighbor? Is there a little bit of that going on in your heart for the person who stands behind you at Walmart? The church in the United States is also famous for another problem. We'll send missionaries to do it. We'll pray for those missionaries to do it. But Lord, don't ask me to do it. We're also famous for putting our elderly in old people's homes and visiting them once in a while. Don't ask me to take care of them. We're also famous for spending the money to have someone else do the cleanup. Don't ask me to clean up the mess. We're beyond that. Where is our heart's desire? Where is our prayer, our walk with our Father in heaven? You see, the Jewish people had it wrong in the sense that they thought being righteous was following the law completely, an impossibility. Scripture is so clear, Old and New Testament, that there is no way we can please our God by being perfect, because there was only one who was perfect, and it's not you and it's not me. It was Jesus Christ. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, gift given from our Father in heaven. And we know that it's not for all. That somehow in God's divine judgment, there are some that He calls and some that He doesn't call. But I don't know that. I don't know who, I don't know why, but I know what I am called to be: faithful. I am called to be faithful to the gospel message. So there is none that are unworthy of my time. There are none that are unworthy of my prayers. There are none that are unworthy of my effort, that they might hear the good news of Christ and experience the love of Christ, whether it be in a cold drink of water, or whether it be a meal, or whether it be caring about our community by concern about a crosswalk. That as the church of Jesus Christ, we are to be on our feet caring about the people around us. If we are not, we may be saved, but we're grieving our Father in heaven. Hear the end of chapter 10. How will they call on him whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they've not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And that's not talking about preachers. That's talking about you and me. And how are they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. One last thing before I come to the end of this message. This passage sets before us that anybody who believes and cries, Lord, Lord, will be saved. And then you see all of you, I believe chapter 27, where it says, all those who cry, Lord, Lord, are not saved. Scripture, like, disagreeing with itself? Look at the meaning and the context. All those whose hearts are moved by the Holy Spirit to seek God will believe and are God's children. But just because you use the name of Jesus for whatever means you think is beneficial to yourself does not mean that you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There were those who would use the name of Jesus for their own selfish ambitions, for their own gain. There are those who call themselves Christians, but they're not. Let God be God, though, and you and I be faithful. It's not my place to say, you're not real Christian. It's my place to say, you claim Christ, you're my brother. Let's walk this road together. Hold me accountable to God's word, and I will hold you accountable to God's word. There will be some who someday will say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus will say, your faith was built on what you did, not what I did. Your faith was built on what you thought you accomplished, not what was accomplished on the cross. I do not know you. My friends, where is your heart's desire? Let God be God. He's the one who knows who will be his child. You and I are called to be faithful in every encounter, every human life that we are able to touch, to share in word and deed the good news of Christ. We have a story to tell. We have a message to give that the nations of this world might come to know Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, forgive us for all the times that we have not been faithful. Forgive us for all the missed opportunities where we did not share the good news of Christ. But Lord, thank you that as our sovereign God, when I fail, you do not. And when I fall flat, you rise up another. If you have someone in mind to come to know Christ, and you want me to be the mouthpiece, and I fail, Lord, I thank you that as sovereign God, you'll raise up another to do my work. And forgive me for where I failed. I praise you, Lord. This church praises you that you alone are on the throne. Now we ask that in a relationship with you, we are so strengthened, we are so built up that we have the desire to serve you better. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.